Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series looking at the three books of wisdom in the Bible. Richard Lucas, our worship leader at St. James, leads us into the heart of worship. Our readings are taken from Psalm 111 verse 10 and Psalm 95 verses 1 to 7, followed by Colossians 3 verses 12 to 17. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
The first reading is taken from Psalm 111, verse 10, and then Psalm 95, verse 1 to 7. And the first bit's headed up, Praise for God's Wonderful Works. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And then Psalm 95, a call to worship and obedience. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is Colossians 3, 12 to 17. The old life and the new. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you in his own, so that you must clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another. Whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else, you must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make for it. It is the peace of God has called you together in the one's body. And be thankful. Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct each other with all the wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God and thanksgiving in your hearts. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus as you give thanks through him in God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, we're going to sing some songs. No big introduction. Just think about the words as we sing them, because those thoughts might be useful later on. Thank you. Worship team.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Right, anything from here that goes wrong is my fault, not Martin's, who's painstakingly put together these bits for me with several changes. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little nervous. I'll often stand at the front here and witter on about odd things, but to be given the whole subject, there's a little bit more than I'm used to. Just as a warning, I may run down the odd rabbit hole, but I fully intend to come back out of that rabbit hole at some point during the course of what I say. But also, just to warn you, I was at a thing in Bath University on Thursday and said my little piece, and there was a smile from across the side of the room for people that know me, and somebody said, is it possible to take his batteries out? So Nigel has the on-off switch, so you'll be really, you're really glad to know. Right, this is a moment where I channel my inner Nick Tall. We are this morning going to touch upon Neoplatonic worldviews with Gnostic undertones and the dualism between soul and body. Yeah, I might unpack that a little more later on. But we start with the notion of why do we worship, what do we worship, what worship is. Here's the big thing, worship's everything. We talk about praise, but actually worship's everything, so no pressure. So I have been known occasionally to get excited about the odd thing, usually in the last few seconds, like yesterday. Anyone here who's Welsh, I can only apologise. But Johnny kicking for World Cup glory in the final seconds, the elation, the wonder, the worship, the praise that comes through it. And the other one is Exeter beating Saracens in 2017, still one of the most wonderful moments I've experienced, outside of obviously being here, when the man next door to me, who was much larger than me, leapt up and hugged me, which was lovely, slightly disconcerting, but people were going a bit nuts at the time. So we praised. We all then probably sang Sweet Chariot or Sweet Caroline or something. Anyway, to touch on that dualism, there's a few bits, and if people want to shout out if they know the song, let me know. Anybody? Yes, you have. Why? Coldplay, thank you. So, probably biggest band in the world. Local, often come from Exeter. Devon, often play at Glastonbury. Really good song about prayer last year. Interesting people. But we often sing along to that. Gets me going. So we know it's... This one's for Nigel. Anybody? Sorry? Thank you very much. Someone of my generation. Excellent. XTC making plans for Nigel. You see what I'm doing here? We got here? Mr. Brightside by The Killers, who Mrs. Lucas and I went to see last year. I've seen for the second time. Quite an immersive experience. Very dramatic. One of the biggest selling records, interestingly, of all time, that one. We then have a touch of... Muse, thank you very much. Whoops, back. I'm not good on this today, am I really? Yeah, Muse. Linked to this church? Anybody? Tenuous, but we'll go with it. They're from Tynmouth. Where is our last curate now, a vicar? You see, some thought went into this, believe it or not. Right, this one. So, One Day More from Les Mis. I think it's a great musical, very fantastic songs, lyrics, and it's about faith. Right, we'll now go back to something a bit different. Right, there is this thing that says that worship's what we do here, and it's praise, and it isn't what goes on elsewhere. So I touched on it earlier. This peace that N.T. Wright has commented on and other people have commented on, that actually what we've got is something that happens in here and something that happens out there, and the two bits are different, in which case he left his book behind, which is never helpful. So some of what I'm talking about comes from this book, which is Whole Life Worship, which Ruth and a number of us went to a number of years ago and heard them talk about how you do worship and praise and kind of what the difference is. So, dualism. Plato, I thought it's really good to get a bit of Greek philosophy in here, believed that there were physical things and they were evil, there were our bodies, and there were spiritual things that were good and wonderful. The quote became from N.T. Wright, Neoplatonic worldview. We as a people see that both are intertwined and together, and you can't separate them. There isn't a dualism between soul and body. It's all one big thing. Graham Cray wrote, worship is where, above all, we proclaim our priorities and are formed by the Spirit through what we proclaim, and especially by what we sing. Especially by what we sing. There's a quote that says, we don't probably come out whistling the sermon. Fabian's not here, is he? No, it's okay. We don't come out whistling the sermon, we might well come out whistling the song. So much of what we believe now, we communicate through the songs that we sing. Not just now. The Wesleys were doing it centuries ago. Other people have been doing it right down the whole of the Christian experience. It's about the words that we sing form what we believe. The last song we sung is by this chap, a bloke called Phil Wickham, who I have had the joy of actually meeting and talking with. Shameless name dropping. When we went to Soul Survivor many years ago, and he was leading the worship. And had a couple of conversations with him, and they announced a seminar, and we could turn up and talk to him about how he wrote his songs. And because it was the beginning of the week and never quite noticed, there were about six of us there. So we had three songwriters and musicians, people leading, and Phil Wickham, who was absolutely wonderful, pleasant, approachable chap. Came up through, his parents were part of the Jesus People in America. He now leads worship in a church in San Diego. But he said, I'm going to read it off this because my eyesight is not what it used to be. As people will notice for me. Let's get the actual quote up here. Music that honors God will cause our hearts to sing. And when our hearts sing, worship happens. We're transformed on the inside as we're filled with the Spirit and devote everything we are to worship. Everything. Praise and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. And music has a way of piercing into the deep parts of our soul that assists in our expression and response to God and to the church. And singing helps us unite us to the church. So we've touched on the idea of singing, of the praise, of the worship bit that goes alongside that. Worship is the believer's response of all that they are. Mind, emotions, will, body, to what God is and says and does. Psalm 29 says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Songs are almost the only thing that we learn by heart these days. Now, some of us will probably, because of my background, still be able to have recite large chunks from my early days, matins and communion services. But it's the songs that we sing that shape the church that we are. In a way, Graham Kendrick called them a teaching package which influences all of our thinking. The focus we have is on the wisdom of praise, of worship and gratitude that disciplines our minds. The Psalms are full of these songs. The New Testament in Colossians talks about the message of Christ dwelling among you richly to teach and admonish you. No pressure there then. Through psalms, hymns and songs. Worship's something that we do, but it also does something to us. And it is all for God's purposes. Worship is when we come together. unified in the body of Christ, to celebrate God for what he has done for us. In that worship, we offer up our praise, but we can also experience the presence of God with us and receive his communication. But why do we worship? For some people, the answer is that it's what we did when we grew up. It's just what we do. But when we love and honor somebody, we really want to show it in our words and our actions. It is more than what we do on a Sunday morning. Singing a few songs, listening to the teaching, yes, I think people are, sharing communion and doing whatever else is scheduled Sunday morning is part of it. But worship is more than that. It's not the easiest thing to define, because it is an attitude, it is an act, it is a concept, and it is a relationship. If I pull up this one. Yes, no, I need to go back. I've not really got control of this, have I, this morning? Here we go. Graham Kendrick, a few of you might have heard of him. I think he's responsible for inventing worship music. Controversial point. No, he didn't. But something did change in the 70s. Through the work of the church, where actually worship and songs became stuff that was a commodity to sell and to listen to. Before that, I'd go and see a Christian band and they sung songs, but you wouldn't necessarily tell them to sing them afterwards. Worship bands, we consume the music of the worship bands, of Bethel, of Hillsong, whatever. But songs are almost the only thing that Christians learn by heart these days. Very few will memorize scripture or learn chunks of doctrine. Therefore, the choice of songs sung in a particular church could be regarded as a teaching package which will influence everybody's thinking. And worship has been misunderstood as something that arises from a feeling which comes upon you. But it is vital that we understand that it is rooted in a conscious act of will to serve and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. It is how we live our whole lives. Paul drew worship imagery from the temple. He spoke of sacrifice. He spoke of surrender. He spoke of lives laid down. The example being Jesus, who laid down his life as the final and ultimate perfect act of worship. Worship doesn't begin with us. It begins with the core and nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise and worship is his gift to us. It's more than just meetings and music. It's about being caught up in the very life of God himself for eternity. Now, because music and songs have become so prominent in our Christian worship services now, this notion is that actually praise is worship, worship is praise. So we need to kind of be careful to effectively reinforce the impression through our inappropriate wording that actually this is what we do as worship. Now, let's worship, meaning let's sing our worship songs. We here call it a praise time, which is really good. It could imply that everything else isn't worship, but it is. Everything else is worship. We've been worshiping God through prayer. We will worship God through prayer. We've worshiped God through the reading of the scriptures. We worship through God through songs, and later we'll worship God through the act of communion. God can be worshipped in silence. With symbols. We've got fantastic artworks that come into the church. It can be through touch. It can be through taste. It can be through smell. As well as the usual seeing and hearing. Praise is giving God the glory that he deserves. It is proclaiming who he is and what he will do. Central to the Psalms, central to the New Testament, central to the church down all the ages. And mentioned in Revelation. Always a tricky book for me to read. I find some of the imagery quite difficult to get my head around. However, that is what we are going on to do. To worship and praise him in perpetuity. Whether if what we've sung is Vivaldi's Gloria, Matt Redman's Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, or whatever, it is actually worshipping God in all that we do, say, and are. The Psalms are filled with calls to praise the Lord. Come, let's worship and bow down in worship. let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And Jesus also tells us that it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Worship is something that we do, but it also does something to us. And it is for all God's purposes. Worship is where we come together, unified in the body of Christ, to celebrate God and what he has done for us. In worship, we offer up praise, but we also experience the presence of God and receive communication from him. During lockdown, people remember that far back, we did some services, and we both thought of what we did on Life on the Frontline, which was from London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, who helped write the book that I quoted from earlier. We talked about scattered lives. So we're all out in the world, but we come together. There's a scattered life, and there's scattered worship, and there's gathered life, and there's gathered worship. And we talk about three bits. The up, what I call the up, down, and out. Worship can seem like a vertical act. It's God to us to God, God to us to God, God to us to God. It's also horizontal. It goes out amongst us. So we're worshiping God. We're worshiping with other people. Our praise is going out sideways. But also there's a third dimension, the out. It's going up. It's going in. It's going out to the world. God said, declare my glory amongst the nations. Declare his marvelous deeds amongst all people. In Psalm 96, Israel were reminded they weren't like other nations, but were not to hide from the rest of the world and become inward looking. That's us now. The people of God are to proclaim his character and his acts to the whole world. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth. As God's people, we declare his praises, who he is, what he has done, so that the whole world might receive his salvation. No pressure then. Going back to this one, just to quote a little bit. So often, we just see what goes on here as separate to what goes on out there. A pastor wrote, anonymous, we began to realize there was a disconnect between what was happening in the building on a Sunday and what was happening in people's lives throughout the week. It was as though that once we'd left the building, the really important business was over. And to quote Basil the Great from the 4th century, people do not leave church reciting the sermon, but they do sing the text of the Psalms at home and circulate them in the marketplace. They don't just stay in our heads, they drop down into our hearts and into our core beliefs. Let us write hymns for the church that talk of our theology. So I just want to show you this clip.
God so loved, reached out, came close, the shining light of heaven on earth, inviting, calling, redeeming, extravagantly sharing his deep wisdom, his glory.
So God helping us, let's take our lives, our ordinary lives, our sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around lives, and place them before him, our God, our King. An offering.
Teach, clean, direct in his name.
Cook, create, design in his name.
Fix, care, speak in his name.
Our lives a river of worship for him who fills all in all.
To worship. So, I think I've banged on enough about the fact it's all that we do. So when someone says you're the worship coordinator, what I mean is I'm coordinating worship, which means as it's your entire life, I'm responsible for coordinating your entire life. Be afraid, be very afraid. No, but the point is that we tend to limit things and they shouldn't be limited. But also, right, so that's a chunk we've worked our way through. We then come to the sort of praise that we do here. What does praise actually mean? So there's general praise. It doesn't focus on a specific thing. It remembers that God is great and wonderful and has done good stuff for us. And we sing it out in joy and wonder to him. Specific praise is where we're reminded of a specific act of God and give him glory for that. Now, to some extent, we're telling God what he already knows. We're recounting what he's done or will do. It is an act of remembrance that does more than tell a story, though. It gives an identity to God. Now, in the Psalms, we can see testimony that's both personal and corporate. How God saved and has delivered and will deliver again. It's not ethereal, something all wonderful. It's something that actually happened, shaped and rooted in historical event. Sometimes, in modern songs and worship, we kind of miss that. We can become disconnected from our theology, what we believe, and what God has done. Now, Stuart Townend, you might have heard of him. We sing a few of his songs. I don't think today, though. No, amazing. He felt we needed more story songs. Songs that chart what Jesus did and said. Songs that remind us. Anyway, I want to capture the wonder, the amazement, and the fear of those around Jesus who saw an ordinary man doing extraordinary things. He wrote, he wrote a song that we sung today. He wrote The Man Who Calmed the Sea. There we go. No one corrected me. Whether they meant you were asleep or not, who knows? Nobody corrected me. Man Who Calmed the Sea was written because he wanted to talk about the experience that people have when they are following Jesus. What did Jesus do for the people? Can we remind ourselves that he calmed the sea? That he raised people from life, from death, that he did things for us. His point is that they're quite often we sing great songs, but we need to remember to sing songs that also talk about what Jesus did. The middle song that we sung in that chunk before, All I Am Is Yours, links back to what we've been talking about. All I Am Is Yours. The first song links to this. Songs that remind us of our faith. Not an ethereal concept, but what God is like and has done for us. We root our praise in what he did. And we miss some of that wonder if we don't start to think that Jesus was an extraordinary but ordinary man doing ordinary and extraordinary things. He calmed the sea. He created. He was our God. He talks about there being a theological context, an integrity to what we sing. What we sing has to be biblical. It has to be theological. It has to be what we believe. But it also has to be used and use words that we can understand. Often, the quote I heard from the book was that we talk about silver and gold when we mean money. We talk about going within the veil. Just making sure that we understand the words that we use. A song needs to be comprehensible to the culture in which it's formed. But also true to the unchanging gospel. Suitable for glorifying God, unifying believers, and expressing doctrine. Now, some of you mentioned earlier was quite good at that. Charles Wesley was really, really good at that. He wrote between 6,000 and 8,000 hymns. We don't sing that many of them now, but that's what he wrote. One of the greatest hymn writers of all time. And he could combine spiritual truth, biblical doctrine, expressions of love, expressions of gratitude, and love for God, because his songs are about revelation and response. His hymns have also been featured in South Park and The Simpsons and sung by Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton and Mariah Carey. Must look up those versions at some point. But we still sing the words that he wrote. We still sing those songs. And also praise does not just happen in our gathered worship, as we've said. So we talked about all these songs. Throughout the week, as well as at church worship, the Christian is a praising person. Aspects of our time in church should remind us all that we can worship on our front line, as we said in the film. Does what we do here inspire us to glorify God in the way we speak to our friends, families, colleagues about what God has done in our lives? We praise him with the work of our hands and in the choices that we make. So the challenge for me is when I go into work tomorrow, when I go into Bridgewater and Taunton College, when I go and speak to Young Somerset and all the things I'll do in my day tomorrow, am I taking what I've done here today, what I've said here today, with me? Or is that a separate, slightly different, secular person? A challenge for me. And just a quick footnote as we go through here. Graham Kendrick likes to remind people that when we do this stuff up here, we're not really performing. You're performing. God is the audience. And those of us behind instruments, behind microphones, we're just giving our worship so we can all worship. It can so often become a performance if we're not careful. We will always endeavor to make sure that doesn't happen here. So, as we approach the end, why do we worship? Because he's Lord. Because he is Lord. Why do we worship? Because he is our Redeemer. Because he saved us. Because he is worthy. He is worthy of our praise and our glory. But crucially, because he's our creator. More than any other person, place or thing, the creator of all of us is worthy of our praise and worship. He is the sovereign ruler, the ruler of heaven and of earth, and as such, he is worthy of our worship. We worship God because of who he is. Of what he has done for us. He created us. We worship God because he commands us. Jesus teaches us. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman at the well, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. Our salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking much such people to worship him. So, we worship God because we love him. We worship God because of what he is doing in and on the earth. And we worship God to bless and honor him, remembering that worship is not primarily for us. Of course, we benefit from it. But first and foremost, it's a selfless act of love towards God, which goes up, back, down, out, out. And we worship God so that we may draw near to him. Anyone know what song that comes from? Song by the Newsboys, which we've sung a few times in church. And there's a line within it which says, let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. May we never forget that the words we sing here are not as great as what we do out in the world. We need to cross the sacred secular divide that we have put in place which we have created, Neoplatonic Gnosticism, Richard, hopefully that's the right way around, that says we're all separate. We're not. It always irritates you when people, when certain politicians will say, oh, the church shouldn't be sticking its nose in. Absolutely it should be sticking its nose in. There is no part of this world where the church doesn't have a view and an opinion and should be saying something. Correctly, with love, with possibly humility and a lack of narcissism, potentially, would be a good idea, and not just one little segment of the church, but biblical truth. Like, for example, we take care of widows and orphans and refugees and people who are not our family. Yes, we look after our family, but yes, we also look after those amongst us who are not as well off as us, who have come here under persecution. So just remember those as we sing our songs and worship. Worship is where we proclaim our priorities and are formed by the Spirit through what we proclaim and especially by what we sing. So, we're going to sing a song now. Before we do it, I just want to pause. I've run up and down various rabbit holes this morning. We've talked about what worship is. I've tried to get that link through to praise. I've tried to talk about the praise songs that we sing, but also the fact it's whole life worship. There is stuff more stuff, and you see, they got the hint, you see. That's the plan. But actually, some of those thoughts might have been disjointed. But the point is that it's everything we do, everything we say, and everything we sing. And it does make a difference. So, there's a song we're now going to sing. And actually, I was going to play the clip, but it plays havoc with the Facebook feed. So you're going to have to get the potted version of it, then we're going to sing. It's a song called Dance Again from Life Worship in Sheffield. The story of a real person. She was confined to her bed for 9 years. She had extreme ME. She could not even sit up in her wheelchair when she came to church. But she came because she was waiting on a promise of God. And one day in church, she felt something start to move, and she started to worship, and she lifted her hands, which she'd never been able to do in 9 years. And that's how it started. For 8 months, she kept coming back to church going, okay, what's next, God? When's it going to happen? But finally, when she came into church one day, on her frame by that point, she felt the need to throw away the frame, be out of the chair, and sing and dance. Because all the way through this with her husband, she said, I want to be able to dance again. The freedom and the joy and the worship I get through dance, I want to be able to experience that again. That's my aim. Now, some people would have gone, oh, just be silly. Don't be daft. I mean, how? No, yeah, Jesus doesn't do that sort of thing anymore. But he did. And she went into church, she threw it all away, and she danced. And there is on the clip, I'll send out the link, her dancing. She's now run marathons and done all sorts of things. When you first see her, now it's healed. You first saw her, there were great big scabs and scars on her face left over, which kind of was slightly off-putting. But it talks about the fact that they have those scars, you have those scabs, but you can be healed. And the leader of the church commented it in this way. She felt the energy as she worshipped, and the healing came. And the leader of that church said, we live between the promise of what God gave us and the realization of that promise. And there's a gap between the two. That's a big gap that we live in, trying to bridge those two bits. But, he said, what we do in that gap, what that person did in that gap, our reasonable response, he thinks, ought to be praise. Because God is always faithful. Honest. He never changes. Honest. And we have to approach God with that mindset. So in all that we do, in all that we sing, in all that we worship, in all that we praise, it is that we may all be able to dance again. Thank you.
more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.